Get connected with Take Two Radio on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio. For email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit Take2Radio.com.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to Take Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host. Joining me today as my co-host, which we have not done this since last year because I've been on an extremely long break, is David. David, thanks for hanging in there.
Oh, you're very welcome, and welcome back, and I hope you're feeling well.
Well, yeah, I am, more or less, but, you know, with my disabilities, things are up and down, and plus of all the other reasons we were not going to get into on this show, because that's not what this is for, but glad to be back, and if you heard the dog barking, I do apologize. That was not part of the music. But that's what happens when you do live shows from home. So, did you hear that, David?
Faintly.
Okay. All right. I put my hand over the phone real quick, but, you know, it's not always easy to do. Anyways, let's get to it. Tonight, we're very pleased to speak with an award-winning actor who you may recognize from the many, and I do mean many, roles he's played on TV, film, or on stage, on theater. So welcome, Kevin Brief.
Hello. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Thank
and
you
I hope you're feeling better. I don't know what's going on, but
you don't
what kind
know
of dog you have
on
that was making all that noise?
Oh, my gosh. I hate that. I have two Yorkies.
Oh, well,
and
they're adorable.
The male one likes to bark more than the female.
Yeah,
so
just like a man,
that was
right?
The male instigator.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a cat by me. I think she'll be quiet. So.
Yeah. I was looking at your Instagram. Now, I know you just started it, but your kitty was so cute when you captioned that picture about her, you know.
Yeah.
I wasn't outside.
Yeah, no proof to that. Yeah, I just joined what I like to call the Instagram. Is that not the right terminology? I'm kind of no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, just joined the
Yes.
So I'm really late to the game on that one apparently, but I hear it's big, so I'm happy to be sending off pictures.
Yeah,
of my land.
It is. It's one of the bigger places of or bigger areas of social media is Instagram. I think maybe. I don't know where it comes in neck and neck with Twitter or one's bigger than the other, but I know Instagram is a big thing these days for people and especially people in the entertainment business.
Yes,
I just joined not long ago, but thankfully you reminded me I had it when you tagged me.
I hope it didn't hurt when I tagged you. I was a little rough on that.
No. It was okay, just a little pinch.
I try to be gentle, but you know.
Yeah.
I have a daughter who's a younger. I mean, like in early twenties, and she's all about the Instagram, and I believe it's called Insta, I think. And then
Instagram.
Snap is another. She's very into the Snap, which is Snapchat. It just takes too long to say both syllables, so you just call it Snap, apparently. But
yeah, it does.
Yeah.
My daughter's in her 20s as well, and she does Snapchat, but I never got into it. I mean, I am on enough social media, excuse me, as it is, and trying to keep up with it is just like, sometimes,
it really
you know?
Is. It really is all-consuming, but it's fun, too. I mean, it's... you know, it's really interesting. I mean, some people take that in the Instagram. Some of the Instagram there. I sound like I'm 900,000 years old with that. It's amazing what people take pictures of and share. And some of them are really cool.
And some don't belong up there, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Hopefully I won't hit too many of that category, but you never know.
Well, first thing I want to say to you is that I love that your wife's name is Pam. She has to be an awesome woman.
Yes, she is. She's very awesome. And I'm finding out all Pams are. It's amazing. There's like,
know,
I think there's
one
rotten Pam, but she lives somewhere in Iowa, and we don't, yeah, I don't know. But every other Pam's wonderful.
She lives in Iowa.
Nothing against Iowa. We love the Hawkeyes. Come on. But my wife's name is Pam, and I love her, and she's pretty cool. So as I said, I've not met an uncool Pam yet. So.
Yeah,
nice,
I haven't either.
Now,
so
David
I'm
is another
I'm
thing
good
entirely.
With that.
There's a. Yeah, this is really. I mean, most Davids are questionable, but this one's pretty good.
Yeah. Most of them.
You have no idea how many Davids are in my family.
Yeah, well, in that case, I mean, all Davids are wonderful as well. Particularly families of Pams and Davids.
Right.
Only Pams and Davids.
That's
anyway,
right.
I'm just getting silly.
That's
I
right.
apologize.
Don't do that again.
I won't.
Well, I know that you lived in Brooklyn until the age of 3, so you don't probably remember much from that time. But I would imagine being in theater that you spend a lot of time in New York, or do you split it between California and New York?
Well, at this point, I'm pretty much in California full-time, and I did leave Brooklyn when I was pretty young, but I think it's just cool to say you're from Brooklyn, so I say that, because it's true as well. But all my, you know, my grandmother lived in Brooklyn. My other grandmother lived in Queens. I had cousins out in Sheepshead Bay, and we lived in Bay Ridge area. So I knew the area, had visited relatives and stuff. But my claim to, actually, interesting, maybe not interesting story. When I was in elementary school out here, they would pull me out of class for speech therapy because I guess I had a Brooklyn accent, like when I was in seventh grade. And they actually got rid of my R problem, I think. I'm sorry, the call clicked in there. I will disregard it.
Oh, that's okay.
I was saying, yeah, but as far as working in New York, most of my work in New York is usually gigs where they bring me there. You know, I'll be flown in to shoot a commercial or hopefully a TV show or movie. I used to come in quite a bit. Haven't been blessed to get a lot of gigs in New York of late, but that's fine too. But yeah, New York's great. I just was back there a few years ago.
It's so completely different than California, I would imagine.
Oh yeah, it is. And you know, I have so many friends that I went to grad school back east and an acting program, and most of my classmates went up to New York, and I ended up going. All good actors go to Kansas City, I believe, to start their career, which is what I did. And I was working with a theater company there, but New York's a hard town, you know. I mean, they're wonderful actors, and they got some work, but it was always very, very much a struggle. I think California is just an easier place to live.
Yeah.
And it used to be where all the production was, and it still is a lot of it. But now, you know, a lot of stuff shooting in New York and back east now, so that little paradigm's changed a bit from what it used to be. Because, see, in the old days, you would, like, you know, if you lived in New York, you'd do your Law and Orders, and you were done. You know, if you did East Law and Order and a couple of soap operas, that was your TV stuff for the year, pretty much, or for many years.
Yeah.
But now there's a lot of action there, and, yeah, I mean, there's nothing like – it's nothing like being in New York, and certainly, not to sound crass, nothing like being in New York on somebody else's dime, you know, when you're being paid and put up and wind and dined. That's always very nice. But
for
yeah,
sure.
But
no one's going to complain about that.
Yeah, no, yeah. But, yeah, so, I mean, I've come back to New York quite a bit. You guys are in Brooklyn or
in, no, I'm actually in Chicago, and David is in – where are you,
I'm
David,
in
New York?
I'm in upstate New York. I'm like 2 hours east of Syracuse.
Okay. But, that's rough winters up there.
Mm-hmm.
I've been up in that area once. Did the Niagara Falls, Cooperstown trip. I had a job in Syracuse, actually, and then stayed longer and toured the area, which is quite pretty. Anyway, I'm rambling about New York, and I'm out in California.
No, that's okay.
It's
fine.
It's 180 degrees right now. We had, like, an incredible heat spell yesterday, anyway, like 110, and I survived it, so.
In California, it was 110?
Yeah. It was.
Terrible. I read those numbers.
Yeah, like I'm not too far from like the Burbank area, and 100. And I got in my car and it said like 107 as I was pulling out. So
wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Remember those when I was visiting over there? It hit pretty much, and I was up north.
Yeah, it's
those numbers.
It was, I mean, it was quite unusual. I mean, it was, you know, record breaking heat, but. And now it's cooled down to about 90, 95.
Yeah, I think that's what it is here too in Chicago.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at it now. It says 83, so it's dropped some. So,
and,
but we have humidity. You guys don't.
Yeah, the dry heat makes a big difference, I guess. And I'm sorry, we're talking about the weather of all things. So.
Yeah, I know, right?
that's good.
You mentioned, you know, moving to Missouri after earning your degree and that, and I thought it was a cute story because I read that you did it because of a girl.
Well, yeah, I joked that, you know, there was a girl involved. but actually, it was a very good move for me at the time. I actually started working, of all places, in Kansas City full-time as an actor. There were several theater companies there that I was making a living as an actor in Kansas City, of all things. But there was a lot of theater. There are a lot of corporate headquarters in that area, so I did a lot of like industrial films for them and a lot of voiceover and commercial work regionally. And then about once or twice a year, it always seemed like some television production or feature film came to shoot in the area. And I was kind of blessed to get – I got cast in just about everything that came through town, which I don't mean to sound – well. Hoity-toity, but it was just a fact, and so by the time I came out to L.A., I had a pretty good reel to pitch myself with. I had done a lot of stage work, but I also had a lot of film work at that point for somebody in Kansas City. And it's a great,
right.
I don't know if anybody in Kansas City is listening, but it's a great town. I mean, it's really a lovely area, and I love my time there. But some doors opened up in L.A., and I went running through them, so there I am.
Wow. Well, that's good. I mean, that you had a resume to go to California with. Not a lot of actors do that. They, you know, as soon as they're done with school, or even if they haven't been to school to learn acting, they just decided they wanted to be an actor, they either just go to California or they go to New York and that's it and just hope for the best. So I think
yep.
It definitely did work out well for you.
Well, I believe in training because maybe I'm justifying my own existence, but, you know, I got my master's in acting and a theater degree and then worked regional theater for quite a few years. But, you know, I got to say, it's the kind of business where you can be standing in the line at a grocery store and be discovered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it does happen. It's not a guaranteed route to stardom by any means, but, you know, you don't often get, you know, way ahead by, if you're a plumber, they don't discover you, you know. Being,
right.
You know, I mean, there is that happens, so people want to chase it. And, you know, it's a very young industry, I think, now, particularly in Los Angeles. So part of me, you know, when people ask me for advice. And, you know, sometimes I say, if you're good and you're young and you've got the, you know, the wherewithal and the strength and the perseverance, try it. Maybe it's not bad to hit right away. And I'm not discouraging college by any means. I think no matter what, you kind of need an undergraduate degree just to anything you learn, it makes you a better actor, I think, you know, if you,
right.
you learn about history
right.
and art and
every little piece counts.
Absolutely, you know, so I feel bad for some, you know, when I see a young actor and all they know is act, all they've done is act, and I don't feel bad for them. I mean, they're probably making a very nice living, but I do think they've, you know, kind of robbed themselves of some, of a whole avenue of things they could learn that they could apply to their work and just, you know, apply to their life and be a more rounded
mm-hmm.
individual. But that being said, the route I took, which, you know, it took a while for me to get out to Los Angeles and start doing TV and film, but I was ready to do it when I came, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Now, what would you say is the most important thing a new actor can learn from doing theater versus starting out in film or TV?
Well, as far as what they learn, I would say, well, one thing, you know, casting people like that background. I mean, it gets minimized a lot. when you're, you know, just audition for TV shows, but almost every casting director I know will look at theater credits and go, wow, oh, yeah, that's a great theater. You know, and that gives you some, it's still going to be about your work in the room when you audition or whatever, but it gives you some bona fides as far as they're concerned, you know. It's like, okay, I feel confident bringing this guy in. He knows his stuff kind of thing. So that's one plus. There's ways you need to adjust, obviously, from the stage to the screen, if you will. But acting is at its base kind of the same, pretty much the same principles, and just being applied at different with different. What am I trying to say? Some people say, you know, it's stage is bigger and film is smaller, and that's true, but it's not as simple as that. It's just taking the craft and adjusting it for the medium, I guess. But a background and basis in stage work is, it only makes you better, I think, and it makes you more, if you've already been around and not, the stage could be kind of tough, you know, but if you already had those few School of Hard Knocks kind of things, it'll help your case out here, by Hollywood and L.A., which is where it is. I don't know if that made any sense at all, but...
Yeah, it does. It actually does.
Okay. No, that makes sense. Come on. I know that.
Now, what's your favorite play that you've been involved with or would like to be part of?
Well, I in Los Angeles, most of the theater here is done what we call a equity waiver or a 99 seat, where they allow us union members to work in theater and not get paid. Isn't that beautiful? We get paid very little, but it's where I've done some of my most, since I've been in Los Angeles, my most fulfilling work. And then that's another thing about that contract, it allows you out to do TV. So if you're working on a play and I get a job, I go, hey guys, I hate to do this, but I can't be there Friday night. I'm shooting this sitcom or something. That happens with that contract. But my most, I've already done a play that I feel like I've done some of my best work ever as an actor, to be frank. It was a play called A Prayer for My Daughter, and it was done in one of the small stages in L.A. And I won the L.A. Weekly Theater Award for Best Actor.
Yes.
And that's kind of, for lack of a better description, it's kind of the OB of Los Angeles, if you will. Not quite a Tony Award, but an OB Award. But that being said, it was just such a great experience as a four-man play directed by Albert Alar, who's actually one of the exec producers of Days of Our Lives now. It was just a fabulous the role. I didn't really know the play before I did it, so it wasn't like a role I've been always dreaming to do, but boy, I sure love doing it. As far as like roles I've always kind of wanted to do, I can't sing at all, but
that's okay. I can't either.
If you can do a Fiddler on the Roof with a guy that can't sing as Tevye, that's always been a role that I thought would be really cool to play. I don't know why. It moves me, that role. But I think you got to sing, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so too, yeah.
I can kind of sing, but as I always put it, I can sing, but there are people that do it better. Let them get the job, you know. But otherwise, I mean, it's just those are just two roles that come to mind as far as one that I've done that I just loved the work in it, and one that I've thought of doing. I'm trying to think of I've done Glengarry Glen Ross several times, and that's just a blast as an actor to do. Not just because of the curse words, but you know, but just the
yeah, that's a plus.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, but so, but I don't know, those just come off the top of my head. I'm sure there's, many more if I was to give it a lot of thought. I mean, there's obviously some Shakespeare stuff. You know, I gotta say that, right? Hamlet. That's what I gotta play. Yeah, that's me.
Hamlet.
The worst
there you go.
In the world, me as Hamlet. It'd be a very avant-garde Hamlet if you put me in that role, but. I don't know, those are a few that just popped into my head stage-wise. And I do like to keep my feet in the water, or my feet on the stage, if you will, and just try to do a play every every now and then, just because it just feeds my artistic soul, as highfalutin as that might sound. But it's a tough commitment in Los Angeles because it's, you know, you love doing them, but, you know, it's giving up the weekends for, like, $10 performance, and that's tough to do when you got a family and you want to be home with them and things like that.
Yeah.
Right.
But still, it's my, I mean, in my early career, I mean, stage is my bread and butter. That was what I did. And then I did the other stuff to kind of, for fun and supplement income. And, you know, I always worked in all mediums of acting, as far as whether it was voiceover or commercials or film or stage. But, you know, in L.A., stage is just more of a luxury that I do now and then, as opposed to what I do for a living, if that makes sense. Plus, it's, you know, in Los Angeles, it's a showcase kind of thing. Hopefully you get, you know, a producer out that sees you and likes you, or a casting director or whatnot. But I have found you can't do it for that reason. It just, it's really tough to get people to come. It's really funny. We're doing a play. Whenever you do a play, let me know. Okay, hey, I'm doing a play. Yeah, I can't make it. You know, get that a lot.
Yeah.
But I have also a very, very, very dedicated friends and people in the area that are always very supportive and come see me in shows, and I do for them as well. But you know that so. I forgot what the question was. There we go. I went rambling on again. I guess that's
no, it's quite all right. We ramble.
Okay, thanks.
We like ramblers, so we're okay.
Okay.
With
yep. Well, good. I think you got one.
Now, have you ever thought of teaching classes?
Well, I have, and as a matter of fact, I have started. I taught at a university last year and acting for film class that went very well, and I did one semester, and then they added it for a second semester. Yeah, I'm not to tell you a long story. I took over a friend of mine that was doing the class because he got ill, and so I finished that semester, and then they liked it enough to offer it again because they usually didn't. And I've done some workshops, kind of introduction to auditioning workshops, and at a friend's casting studio here in L.A. I am going to be teaching improv in the fall at a local college. And so, yeah, I had not thought about teaching until like a couple of years ago, actually, and some of these opportunities opened up, and I, you know, I took them, and it's been fun. I mean, it's a new challenge. I had to learn how to do lesson plans real quick and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my strong suit in teaching world, but I'll get the hang of it eventually. But yes, I've been doing quite a bit of that of late, and enjoying it, and hopefully hoping I'm learning them kids good, if you will.
Yeah.
And I think I have, and obviously I've just grown, you know, from your first day of teaching to your last, the growth is, even one semester, the growth is it's way more than you think it's going to be, you know. I mean, you're just
right.
So awful. I don't know if I can make this story make sense, but my first night of teaching, I was sweating so bad that my entire shirt, you couldn't tell it was wet because the whole thing was wet, if that makes sense. It was just, I don't know,
yeah.
It was just, I had total flop sweat. I mean, I've been on stage and been in, you know, I've been on movie sets with stars and man, it just. But by the end of the, you know, end of the night, I was fine. And then by the end of the semester, I was I went shirtless. I didn't need a shirt. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
But no, it just I just grew so much.
You wore them all down.
Yeah, I did. So I've got, yeah. So that's the. Thanks for asking about that because that's actually kind of a new adventure, relatively new adventure for me, and I'm liking it. So hey, if anybody out there wants to hire me as a teacher too, I'm here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's always people that, you know, can learn from taking workshops or classes if that's what they want to get into. It makes a lot of sense to take them. I think
the training
that you have and the schooling that you have is better all the way around.
I mean, I agree with you, and hopefully you're working with somebody that's good too. I mean, a lot of good school, a lot of schooling with somebody that doesn't know what they're doing. Maybe not as fruitful, but generally most people that are running schools everybody I know that has a you know, classes are very good and know what they're doing. So that's not really a danger.
Right.
I'm not even sure why I brought it up. So,
Now, how do you learn your lines? I mean, do you have a specific way of doing it? And how long did it take you to get that quote-unquote actor's memory?
Well, you know, I was just kind of always blessed with a good memory. It's never been a big issue for me at all. When I was a little boy, I used to kick everybody's butt in my family in concentration, if you remember that game. You know, you have to match the cards.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. So I've always had a really good memory. And lines come fairly easy to me. Not that I want to sound like, hey, look at me, but they do. And I think the best way for me to get my lines, I don't really, if it's a monologue or something like that, I kind of have to sit with it and study it and go back and over it, over it, and over it. But otherwise, I kind of just pretty much learn it by rehearsing it or running it with, you know, running it a few times. And with television and film, usually you don't have a ton of dialogue, you know, so it's not incredibly difficult to learn everything, at least for that day's, you know, whatever you're shooting that day or what you were working for that audition. But I don't really have a good answer for you, except it just kind of comes easy to me.
But that is a good answer. I mean, that's who you are.
Yeah.
You
I
know.
Mean, I did do a play called Laughing Wild by Christopher Durang, and the opening act is two monologues by a man. And the man's monologue is 27 pages long. So that one I had to really sit down and had to learn. And I don't know, you know, I've talked to other actors. We're just kind of amazed by, not amazed by me, I mean, but it's just amazing. Once you get going, they're just there, you know. The lines are there. You know what you're doing. They come down to the movement, whatever movement you can, you know, where you're going ties into the line you're saying, what you're trying to get from the person makes the line real and always on tap with you. And then, you know, the times when things happen on stage or even in film with, you know, you go up with the line and you just kind of keep going and make stuff up to make it make sense. It's kind of remarkable how sometimes we could just be using so many different muscles at the same time when it comes to remembering a line.
And I would imagine you have a little bit more leeway as far as not being, you know, dedicated 100% to script when you're doing theater versus TV or film.
Yes, yeah, of course. But also you have the leeway if you mess up on film, you know, you don't want to, but cut, let's go back, get that line, you know. You can't do that
right.
On stage. So there's the yin and the yang to those two.
The good and bad of that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's obviously much leeway, and depending on what kind of work you're doing on camera, maybe not that there's leeway, but you know, if something good's happening and the other person's doing it with you, and the director doesn't yell cut, you know, and you're offline, but you're making some, you know, I don't know, magical things happen, you know, you just keep going with that too, and it doesn't need to be cut, but usually they do. If you're way off, you just
right.
You know, pretty obvious.
Yeah, and it doesn't
but yeah,
fit
but
what they're
more
going
leeway
for.
In theater, but you try to always honor the words on the page as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And even you know, the playwright wrote it a certain way for a reason, and you try to honor that. But you know, it's live,
right.
And you might forget something.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's not
so,
like you can put notes all over the place, you know, because I think the audience would pretty much see what you were doing.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't work. This reminds me of an anecdote, if you'd like a funny anecdote about that.
Sure.
I worked with Rod Steiger in one of his last films. And I had always heard that, you know, Brando wasn't there for his close-ups in the cab scene, you know. Charlie, I could have been a contender, that scene. That was the worst Marlon Brando, by the way. I just did. But anyway. I said, you know, was that true? And he goes, oh, yeah, yeah. We did Marlon's close-up. We did the master Marlon. He got out. We switched the cameras around. I got back in the cab. He wasn't there. And I didn't see him again for 30 years. He said,
oh, my
God. So I'm at the Toronto Film Festival. But he also said, he had his lines all over that cab. He just had, you know, index cards with his lines taped all over the roof of the cab and the front. So it can be done. Well, actually, that's not the play. But yeah, so I love that story. And he was a really great, great guy.
Good
it was,
one.
I mean, you know, a terrific actor. And one of my another favorite story from that job was Rod was pretty infirmed. I mean, he had really, really bad knees or hips or something, and he couldn't walk very well. So we did our scene. They shot the master and then shot his close-ups, and they said, you know, Rod, you go back and just go back to your trailer, and we'll just shoot Kevin with the, you know, AD can feed him the lines. Don't worry about it. And he was like, no, you better not. He can't work that way. You better bring me back here when you're ready to go. So I thought that was pretty cool. This guy's like an 80s.
Wow,
really,
yeah.
Rod, but insisted on being set. On set for my close-ups, so that's the way to do it, kids. You know,
those are great memories for you to have for a lifetime.
Yeah,
especially if you admire somebody like that.
Yeah, it was really an honor to work with them. The movie, I don't know if the movie is all that good, but you know, hey, we had fun.
Yeah,
the movie's okay. It's a movie called A Month of Sundays.
I'm not sure I've seen that one
On Netflix somewhere or something like that, but.
Yeah, I'll have to check it.
So I forgot how I got onto that. But, yeah, no, so my advice for people to memorize lines is, you know, have a really good memory. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
How's that? That's kind of helpful. Just be blessed with a good memory. There you go.
Practice.
No, there are certainly techniques, mnemonic devices people use. And I've done that. You know, if I have a list of things in a line and I'm really getting confused which comes which, you know, I might come up with, like, you know, I don't know. You know, like if it's an R, an I, a C, and an E, I'll just remember, okay, rice, you know, whatever that is. And that's one way I can do it. I don't like doing those things because it kind of takes you out of the moment of the action of what you're doing in the scene.
Right, or the emotion,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just separates me a little bit from what I'm doing. But it works. And so things like that can be of some help if you need them. Otherwise, yeah, I don't have a good answer on how to memorize lines. I just do it.
Yes, you did.
I don't have a good answer yet. I spoke for 27 minutes about it, so go figure that out.
Whatever works for you, right?
Now, you've been in a ton of different TV shows that I love and adore. I'm a huge comedy person. I love watching comedy on TV because, you know, after a rotten day or you watch the news and it's nothing but bad news, you just got to get out of that funk and you got to watch something funny and laugh, you know. It's good for the soul, like they say. And you were in one of my all-time favorite TV series that unfortunately were canceled, and that was Will and Grace.
Oh, yeah.
What was your experience on that set? I mean, oh, my God,
really great.
I love that show.
And it was a really fun role. I got to work with everybody, you know, all four of the main people, and I played. There was a period, a season or two, where Bobby Cannavale was playing Will's boyfriend, and he was a cop.
Right.
And I played his squad car partner.
Yes, and I actually remember that.
And you know,
I never missed it.
and the humor, the thing they wanted there was just somebody who was just, you know, clearly not comfortable around gay people, but really, really trying. And that was kind of the gist of the character. And yes, it was a lot of fun. A couple of little anecdotes from that. That one was we shot it and it was going really well. And then towards the end, one of the producer writers came up and said, okay, let's change that last line. Moulin Rouge was in the theaters at the time. And I was trying to connect with the people. So in the episode, as I'm leaving, I say, I just want to let you all know that I loved Moulin Rouge. Meaning, I'm paying.
Oh,
one
my
of
God.
But that was, they gave me that line right before we shot that. So what you saw in that episode is the one and only time that line was delivered. We didn't do it in rehearsal. We didn't do it all week. they shot some other stuff that worked fine. And then we shot that one and it got a big laugh. And that's the one that made the cut. So, and I think that's kind of interesting that, you know, only time you saw it was the one time it got, the only time it was done is the time you get to see. Yeah, but no, I mean, they were just, everybody was very, very welcoming. It was a great set. James Burrows directed the episode, which, you know, he's kind of a legend, so that was an honor to work with him. And yeah, it was one of my favorite shows, too, so I was thrilled to be on it. They were funny people. I mean, it was a really funny show. If I may, one other anecdote from that story is that flash forward, I don't know, 6 years, maybe more than that, I'm in Paris with my wife, and we're sitting at a cafe. We start chatting with these British, mostly British people, and we're chatting and chatting and chatting, and we're having a great time, and, you know, had a beer or two. But and they go, so what do you do in California? And I said, well, I'm an actor. He goes, I knew it. And he got up and he quoted my line from Moulin Rouge. I mean, from Will
did
and Grace.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, the guy
really?
Obviously really loved Will and Grace. But
yeah,
yeah, he recognized me and said my line to me. And so that's, you know, you're sitting in Paris and that happens. It's pretty cool. I guess that the TV reaches everywhere. So those
most
are some
definitely.
Of my fun memories from Will and Grace. But it was a delight. And actually, it looked like the role Ralph may come back. It made sense. He was, you know, the squad car partner. But then they broke them up. Like,
yeah, I know.
Later that season, and then they broke up. It's like, okay, well, like, I guess Ralph's done. No reason to have him
yeah.
around. The boyfriend not around. So,
it would have been
yeah.
interesting to have him stay on the show to see how he evolved.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
it was great.
Well, speaking of another one of my favorites, you were on is The Big Bang Theory. Oh
yes.
My God. That's another one
yeah.
I never missed. Now,
yeah.
were you a fan of that show before being cast
oh.
as well? Or
yeah, of course.
No.
Yeah, I think it's a really
yeah.
funny, really funny show. It's I did actually. I was pretty early on in their run with my first episode. When I did the show, Melissa Rauch was a guest star. She was just starting to be. The following season, she became a series regular. So that. That'll date me a little bit of when I did the show the first time. They had me back another time, but yeah, I mean, it was you know, once again, it's also those shows are shot in front of live studio audiences, which a lot of sitcoms, the one particularly the you know the single camera ones now are not. There's not a lot of live
right.
live camera live studio audience ones, so that's also brings a whole other element to it. That's just, you know, that's like the mini play. You get the best,
mm-hmm.
best of both worlds doing that. As far as good stories from that one, well, we were, I don't know from the episode, I was standing at Sheldon is in a ball pit, like at a Chuck E. Cheese. And
yeah.
they're inside mm-hmm. the ball pit and diving around. And it was, I don't know if you know this, but ball pits are filthy. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah,
guys,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. yeah. So Jim and Johnny both get out of that thing, like, oh, God, I got to go. You know, they're just like, they ran away to get washed up. It's like, okay, I'll be right back. You know, they were like ready to, they were just so disgusted by the ball pit. I didn't get to be in the ball pit, so I can't attest to it. But if their reaction is an indication, you do not want to hang out in the
yeah.
ball pit for very long. But yeah, it was fine, you know, to be on any kind of show that's, you know, a top 10 show like that is always, you know, very, very exciting and you know, honor, I guess, is one word to say it. But mm-hmm. I'd read for it a few times before I got this role, so it was nice to book it, you know, not finally book it. I didn't read for it that often, but let's see. That's all the
well, I would say Jim Parsons is a little bit like Sheldon then.
He is, yeah. I mean, he's a very nice guy, don't get me wrong. And Sheldon
yeah.
is too.
Oh, no, yeah.
But no, there, I mean, there's a very...
He's my favorite. I love him.
I had a friend that was one of the writers on that show in the early going and was involved in the pilot, and I remember talking to him after they cast the pilot. And he said, we found this guy. And he was like, this guy is so good. And, you know, they already knew Johnny. They'd worked with him on Roseanne and some other shows that Chuck Lorre had done. But I remember him just raving about this kid they found at the time. And the kid was Jim Parsons. I think he was pretty fresh out of college at that point. So, and they're right. They found
oh,
the gem
okay.
there.
Well, there you go. You told me something I didn't know.
I mean, he might have been out of college for a while. I'm not sure, but
right.
I don't. He was certainly
well,
not a known quantity yet.
If you could have played any of their characters, which one would you play?
Oh, I think I'm definitely a Bernadette. Don't you?
Bernadette.
uh, If they did a Big Bang version, the older years, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I could put mostly myself in the role of Leonard. I would think of the main people. I don't know mm-hmm. if I come off as intelligent as you need to play Sheldon, but. but they're all so good at what they do, and this may get me in trouble, but they are all so skinny. it's so funny. I mean,
yeah.
The guys that play Raj and Howard, they must have 12-inch waist. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's the.
Oh my gosh.
I'm exaggerating,
that.
Of course, but they're very, very thin.
Yeah, yeah.
All of them. So I would not quite fit in. That I wouldn't fit in there. I won't fit in their costumes right now, as it were. But,
right.
but yeah, I guess, I mean, I probably am most castable if you were to look at it as Leonard. And, yeah, I can relate to his sensibilities of just kind of, you know, I love the relationship they have of, I love this guy, but I can't stand this guy. You know, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So that
well,
I've never actually thought of that until this moment. So,
yeah. well, I could definitely see you portraying Leonard as an older version. I mean, if I,
yeah.
you know, picturing both of your faces
much older.
Together, that no, of course not.
Your brother.
Years, that's it. I know.
Maybe his slightly older brother. No, yeah, no, of course.
Yeah,
older brother.
There you go.
Younger uncle.
No, when they set the Big Bang Theory in a nursing home. I'm gonna pit myself at that point.
Oh my gosh!
Wow. What other shows do you like over the years? I've worked on things from go back to Wings and Golden Girls.
Yes,
to,
Wings was another good one that I watched. On a regular basis, and
which one? I'm sorry,
Golden Girls was a regular. I'm
Wings.
Trying to remember.
Oh, Wings.
Yeah,
now that Wings was
that
my
one.
Actually my first sitcom job in town, and then they liked what I did, I guess, and they wrote me back 4 more episodes, and I was like, hey, this TV stuff's easy. Here I am, already recurring. That was an anomaly, but. That was a lot
yeah.
of fun. Sometimes I'm asked, what was your favorite job? And that's often the answer because I came back several times. So I felt like I was part of the family, if you will, you know. It's great.
Right.
It's an honor. It's so fun to be on sitcoms. But, you know, like Will and Grace, as terrific as they were, you know, I'm being just dropped into this family and machine that's just been rolling for years. And I just can't be my job is not to be anything to jam up the works and just make things continue to run smoothly. But there is that, you know, you kind of just arrive and you say hi to everybody. You read the script and, you know, but when you get to come back a second, third, fourth time, you know, hey, Kevin, how you doing? Come on. Yeah. Let's go get a, you know,
yeah.
you want to grab lunch,
you
know, that kind
of
stuff.
Then.
That doesn't happen when you're this there for 1 week. So,
that was a
nice part of being on Wings. And one of the reasons it's often, one of my go-to answers, but I mean it, of one of my favorite shows to work on just because of that element of it, I think. The roles were fun. They were not huge. You know, it was just kind of always kind of a they used to call me teaser man because I was usually in the opening teaser and something usually terrible happened to me. And then the show started.
Oh, no.
that was a while back. And then Golden Girls, you know, just to work with those four ladies was just, they were just great. Betty White was, you know, all of them were just so sweet and so, man, they just knew their stuff, you know. Obviously, they've been doing the show for a long time, but they were all just seasoned, you know, professionals, been in the business for a long, long time. And one anecdote from that show is B. Arthur and Rue McClanahan, I'm forgetting their characters' names, got into like a sing-off at this nightclub that they always went to. But
oh,
Rue
that was, one?
Yeah.
Yeah, another one. Keep going.
But Rue got kind of sick and couldn't, and just was not in good voice and didn't want to do it that week. So it was, you know, it was booked for 1 week. We actually got 2 weeks out of it because we all had to come back. Like, like a week, 2 weeks later when she felt well enough to sing, and just they just kept the set up, and we just shot that part of the show, and then we were done. But so if you when you see it, if you ever watch it, Rue is singing her song about 2 weeks later than Bea Arthur, maybe more like a week and a half. So just you know, just on a totally you know. Selfish reason. It was great. I got some more money out of it. But
right.
But it's not that deep. Pam, David, you know it's not about the money. If I just one
yeah.
person sees that show and they feel better and it makes their life better, that's all I ask for. If I could just make the
yeah, world and that's what it does do for me. So I thank you for
oh,
that.
That's good. Well, that's nice to hear. It does it for me too.
Yeah, I can remember that episode pretty well. That was the one where Blanche couldn't keep up with the singing. And Dorothy was the better singer?
Well, it was like they were, one of them was like the belle of this bar, this one bar. I mean, she'd walk in and they go, Blanche, like she was Norm.
Yeah.
Cheers. And then
yeah.
one day, God, what would it be, it was Blanche and, anyway.
Dorothy.
B. Arthur came in and, you know, just sang when, just kind of joined the piano and sang and then was like this, you know, she became the queen of the place. And then that became
yeah.
quite a rivalry of like, it's my place, you know, and then they had to sing off to Foo Foo was, and of course they all ended in tears and like, I love you, you love me, and we're,
yeah.
we're both great singers. But yeah, so yeah, it was a different episode because both of them sang and, you know, they both came from Broadway musicals background, so they knew how to do that too. And there was a live piano, the pianist was really playing and it was nice, it was a fun shoot. And, you know, and also once again, at the time, one of the you know biggest hits on television. So to be on that show was great, and
mm-hmm.
to work with you know four seasoned pros like that I've watched, you know, all my whole life, you know, over the years doing things, and to be working with them was very cool, and they were very nice.
Yeah, and I mean, who wouldn't want to work with those people? I mean, my gosh, they've been around forever. They had their own TV series even before that, you know, individually, and
right.
just wonderfully talented people. So God bless the ones that have passed.
Yeah, and I think
yeah.
they, Betty's the only one around anymore, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Betty's still hanging in there.
Yeah, she's doing okay.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, what,
definitely.
92, she's got
yeah.
like the most vibrant career she's ever had, probably. There's not anybody that doesn't love Betty White. I don't
think. I can't even imagine someone saying that they don't. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I know.
Now, as far as big followings, you know, having a huge following, what they would call, quote unquote, a cult following, is Star Trek Enterprise, which, of course, you were on.
Yes.
Now, did you play, is it Narg? Is that how you say
Narg,
that? Unfortunately,
yes.
I didn't.
No, you speak Telluride very well. I was
oh,
Narg,
okay, good.
Yeah, everybody knows in Telluride language, the double A is an R sound. No. Yeah,
okay.
The character's name is spelled N-A-A-R-G. Yeah, so I did a few episodes as Narg, who's a Telluride ambassador. And interesting thing for Star Trek people, they know the Tellurites were... in the original series in the 60s, the very first one. And actually, Enterprise was chronologically predating the original. You know, if that am I making sense? It was supposed to be taking place
mm-hmm.
before
yeah.
the original series. So it was kind of nice to have, it was kind of exciting for some fans to have a throwback, you know, to bring that character. It's the first time they've been back on the series since those days. And it was it's an interesting experience because I'm in 4 hours of makeup in the morning, and it takes about an hour to get them off. I think we got it down to like 3.5 by starting, and it takes about an hour to take it off, and I'd be on set all day and nobody knew who I was. I mean,
no.
nobody ever met Kevin, you know. It was just, we'd go work, we were two of us playing Tellurites, and we'd go do our, you know, do the scenes with everybody and, you know, shake hands and say hi, but, you know, we realized they could not pick me out of a lineup unless I had all that makeup on. So it was an interesting thing to experience on that one. I actually came back one day after I got out of it. We wrapped a little earlier. Usually we're the last ones there because it's so long to take everything off. And I came back to the set to say hi to people. I said, hey, I was the guy that was just in all that makeup. Nobody knows who I am. So, and the director was like, hey, that's pretty cool. I don't think anybody's ever done this before, come to say hi and as a person when they've been an alien. So that was kind of nice. But yeah, once again, I think I've said this word a lot. It was thrilling, you know, to be involved in such a iconoclastic show. I mean, heck, Star Trek.
Right. Exactly.
Get involved in that world at some point. Unfortunately, I think once again, going back to my Will and Grace thing, there were plans to do more with the Tellarites, but that ended up being Enterprise's last season, so no more happened with that. But it was great. We got Michael Westmore is a legendary makeup artist. He was the makeup artist on the show and built they made a mouth, they took a mold of my mouth and made mouthpiece for me with. It's just amazing what we went through to make those guys come to life. And somebody asked me once, what did you do to get through the makeup to project the character?
Yeah.
I think I kind of approached it. I don't know if I did it at the time, but in retrospect, it was kind of like a Shakespearean approach to it, where things were just, had to be a little bigger, but as if on stage and more projection, and I used a deeper voice and everything. But I think that's kind of how I approach it. They're all kind of rather Shakespearean in some way, if that makes any sense. And, because there's a lot of stuff over your face. It makes it a little hard to, it's all done really well, so it moves with your face, and you're able to make some expressions come through, but it mostly came from the voice and the stature of the person, of the character. But, that was great. And I subsequently met many fans.
And how hot was it?
And
was it hot?
Pardon me? Oh, it was really hot.
Were you sweating?
It was, I think so. It'd be hard to tell under all that stuff. But yeah, the worst part of that, I don't know if you have a picture of it or anything, the wardrobe I was wearing was like made out of a carpet bag. I mean, it was like so
heavy. Oh, my God.
I mean, it was, now I'm having flashbacks. I forgot how bad it was.
Yeah.
No, it was
almost like a
you don't know, you weren't there, man. It was really heavy, really hot. We could only drink water, through a straw. I don't even remember how we eat lunch. It was...
Milkshake.
They just threw everything in there. Here's a steak sandwich in a blender for you.
Yeah.
So actually, as bad as the mask was, I actually kind of got used to that, but the cape thing they had me in was really, really heavy and very hot, yeah.
Wow.
No, it was a miserable experience now that I think about it. No.
Yeah.
That was fun. It was
when they do those historical type movies and stuff, you hear that quite often, that the costumes are really not comfortable. So I can imagine that.
Yeah. Well, at least it was a gown. It wasn't tight. It kind of hung on my body, but yeah, but it was, I mean, I don't know. It had a lot of heft to it, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
One funny thing from that one, I was outside getting some air, and a couple of the producers from Wings walked by that I knew from Wings. They were now on Frasier, and first of all, I just said, "Hey guys," and they were like, "What? Who are you?" Hey, it's Kevin Briefing. So he says, "Kevin Briefing." He goes, "Oh, hey Kevin, how you doing?" And then it cracked me up. I think it was Chris Lloyd. He goes, "Oh yeah, so what are you working on?"
Yeah,
it just cracked me up. It was like, what? What possibly could I be working on? I'm working on the a sitcom right now. No, but it was very funny. Was, what are you working on? But obviously, I'm like geared up to look like an alien of some kind. So that was one funny anecdote from that day. But no, very enjoyable.
Well,
and we, as I said, we did two. One other thing, I had to shoot somebody. And this is something for all you to know if you're ever using a laser. There's no kickback, or phaser, I should say. So I was shooting the guy, and I was, like, kicking back, like cause they have to put the effect in later, and the special effects like, "Hey, Kevin, no kickback. It just shoots it out, so another lesson learned." So I just had to, like, you just have to hold it and act like you shot, but, it doesn't kick back at you. And then they put it on the
right.
Yeah. interesting tidbit from the set.
That's something good for somebody to know that's acting now that hasn't actually worked with that. So there you go. You taught a new thing again.
There you go. If you get on set and they give you a phaser, you will impress them all if you don't do a kickback the very first time.
That's right.
And, wow, this guy knows what he's doing. He's been around phasers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yep.
And you can, and you just in the back of your head and go, thank you, Kevin.
Yeah.
You led me down the right path this time. Yeah, but it was, you know, what can you say? It was awesome to work on Star Trek, a Star Trek.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's so many Trekkies out there. And one thing I wondered about is when you attended a Star Trek convention, you know, what you're saying that they don't know who you are without the makeup. I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, they just have to trust on the guy. I've actually done a few Star Trek conventions, and I got to say, you know, I mean, sometimes people are like, oh, Star Trek, that must be weird. I'll tell you what, I had such a good time. The people are so nice and just so unabashedly happy about being there, you know, and their mm-hmm. passion for the show. I just really enjoyed it. But, yeah, I'm just signing. I'm there, me, and I'm signing pictures of Narg. It's like, mm-hmm. quite frankly, like anybody off the street could take those pictures and probably sit down and say, oh, yeah, that was me. Yeah, where do you sign? But, you know, it's they can look at the credits and they – and they're
yeah. –
I mean, and I'll tell you what, the Star Trek people at conventions know their stuff. You know, they're
– I thought that, yeah, that they would know who each character is and who is played by them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
You know, they're
– If they read the list of credits, if they're very regimented and read all the credits and who plays who, they could point you out.
That's true. Well, particularly if they, you know, checked out who's this Kevin Brief and then they saw what I look like and all that. But you're right though. I've had people come on. Who is that really? That could be anybody. And some extent it could be. But you know, I read for it. Other guys read for it, and they cast me. And then put me in underneath all that stuff. So it must be something about what I brought to Narg that, you know, made it a little different than the next guy that they might have put under all that makeup.
Yeah.
I like to think that anyway.
Of course. That's the reason.
And I
don't question it.
And when I was when I was signing, it was another thing that I thought was made me laugh. At one of the Star Trek conventions, I was sitting next to a few of the girls that played the Orion slave girls, if you're familiar with the show. Another throwback to the earlier, you know, beautiful women that are all green, like they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they were there, and nothing, I don't mean to, this cast dispersion is about anything, but they were, essentially, they were hired as extras on the show. But they're beautiful women that are green. So, you know.
Yeah.
I have kind of a major role through several episodes, and their line was a lot longer than mine. It's like, yeah, I get it. But also, once again, they were really sweet. I don't know, that might not have been a very funny story to tell, but
yeah.
There you go.
Everybody wants to be green, don't they? I don't know.
Everybody wants to be green, in bikinis.
Well, you know, I guess it depends on the type of year, but.
Well, I know David has a couple of questions for you, but before he starts, I know that his initial question is going to be about Days of Our Lives, and I'd just like to mention that this is not your first foray to being on Days, so any of the listeners out there, you know, when you've seen them this time, not the first time.
Yeah.
So go ahead, David.
Time. Okay. So,
hi, David.
Hi. So my first one was, it says, everyone seems to like Carl the PI's Hawaiian shirt like I do.
Yes.
So was it your idea to wear the shirt, or was it Day's wardrobe?
Well, it was scripted. You know, it said Carl, Hawaiian shirt, you know, Jimmy Buffett feel kind of thing. So that was in the script. It's descriptive. So I, I'm assuming that came from the writers. They must have added, you know, that's what they wanted. The shirts that you see on the show are actually mine. I brought some choices for them, and they had some stuff like there as well. And the wardrobe guy, oh, I like those. Wear those. So, but it was scripted on the page. shirts that Carl is in a Hawaiian shirt.
How about that?
Yeah.
They look nice.
It kind of reminds you of Magnum PI. At least it did to
me.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and I think it's very, I mean, it's a very specific choice that they made for the character. It's really, it tells you a lot about the character, right? I mean, it does. PI friend of Steve, but, you know, it could just be a guy in a sport coat, but they, you know, a guy in an Hawaiian shirt having a beer with him is a totally different vibe than the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it certainly informs the character in many ways, I think. And it's been quite the hit.
It defines you.
Yeah, I think so.
So, okay. What were your favorite memories working on The Young and the Restless and Days of Our Lives?
Well, Young and the Restless, I did one day as a bartender. One of my favorite memories, I don't, this is really not a favorite memory, but I was called so early, and I got there and nobody else was there except, you know, nobody had gotten there yet. So that was kind of weird. It's like, I'm in the right place, aren't I? So we shot that very quickly. Worked with, I'm forgetting his name. Anyway, and he was, whoever he was.
Christoph St. John?
Yeah, Christoph St. John. Thank you very much. Sorry, Christoph.
Mm-hmm.
He was really very cool. He was very, you know, once again, with a soap opera, when you're at daytime, you kind of come in and you just kind of get dropped into it if you're not like a contract player and there all the time. So
yeah,
I guess kind of dropped into it and just started working, and Christoph was like so confident, you know, but he just said, man, you're doing great. If nobody's telling you that, I just want you to know.
Aww.
You're doing great. Because people are, you know, a lot of times you don't get that feedback. You just know if you're doing something bad. You just figure,
right.
If they keep going, they must like it. But for the fans, I don't know if you know, basically when you shoot a daytime series, you kind of come in, you get called to the stage, you block it, and then you shoot it, and then you move on. There's like one take, maybe two if something goes wrong with anything, camera-wise, or if there's just something they just cannot keep going over, like a totally blown mind or something. But so to get that feedback from them was very, very encouraging. And I felt comfortable with what I was doing. I had done General Hospital as well back many, many, many moons ago and worked with
really?
Luke and Laura, which was very exciting. I'll tell you how far back it was. The O.J. trial was on every day, and we weren't sure it was going to air. And as it turned out, the one of the days they took a break and the trial was in recess was the day my General Hospital aired, so it got to air. Everything else, I think, was either airing or they were putting on like at 2 in the morning or something during that time because the trial was taking over all of daytime. So that was probably, what, 90, 95, 96?
Yeah,
so that's when I did the General Hospital. The Young and the Restless was one day, and then my main memory from that one was how nice he was. it was
Christoph
very cool.
Is a sweetie.
Everybody was
yeah,
nice for him, to take that moment to really to make sure I knew, because he knows what it's like to be an actor. You know, you're like,
right.
We assume that was the worst take ever, right? Or, you know, that's kind of sometimes how you assume that. But I was pretty confident in doing my thing, but it's nice to get that feedback. And then actually, as it turned out, the producer came downstairs, you know, as I was getting wrapped and was very, very complimentary as well. And then actually, Christoph actually made a point to go, hey, did anybody come down and say anything to you? Because they should have. And because the producers were up in the booth. I said, yeah, she just came down. He goes, okay, good, glad to hear that. And then he went on, and I went on. And I'm sure
he
probably, you know, has never forgotten that as well. He's probably, I'm just
that's
kidding.
Very nice.
But
yeah.
He was very nice, yeah. I think he went and made a journal entry about the whole experience.
Yeah.
You'll be in his book.
You'll have to ask him that.
Yeah.
And as far as Days, well, I the first time I did Days, I played, it was when Belle and Sean were on the island of Tindalau.
Right. That's
and
right.
I played the sheriff of Tindalau. And I did four episodes. I think it's like in 2007, I believe, because the last one we shot was like a week before I was getting married. So I was like, oh, good, it's done, so I don't have to worry about my honeymoon. We can go. And that was really, I mean, that was, once again, it was just great to want to come back several times, you know. It's just really, it just makes you feel more like the story I told about Wings, you know, to be able to come back and do the role several times. My one funny memory from that is I was the sheriff of Tindalao, which is, you know, in the south, in the Caribbean somewhere, wherever it was. I'm not sure exactly. And they had me in shorts because, you know, I'm an island guy, right? And
right.
Shorts and like a sheriff shirt. And Albert Dallar, the director at the time, came and looked at me and I came out of the set. He goes, oh, okay, let me take a look at that. Yeah, come with me. We went back to the makeup. He goes, okay, this guy's supposed to live on an island. Can we give him some color? Because I was like,
yeah.
I was like, so white. It was like, I don't know if he did that to, you know, for lighting in the camera, so I wouldn't, you know, blow it out with the glare from my legs. But so then they spray tanned my legs and my arms and stuff. To me. Like I belonged on an island a little bit more than I did. But yeah, I was a lot of variety of in the scenes I did too. I mean, all the same location, but it was fun to be there several times and be able to create the character. And then Carl just happened, and that was, as far as that experience, just, you know, I mean, Steve and Drake were just fantastic to work with. Marnie, the Saita, I don't know how to say her name. Saita, I believe it is the cast director. So, and the audition was just really nice. She was great in the audition with me. It was just, I just sound like a Mr. Pollyanna here, but it was just a great experience, you know. It was fun. I liked the character a lot. I think, I'm not sure if he'll be back some more. Hopefully he will, because I just think it's a fun character and people seem to have responded well to him. And it's not just about the Hawaiian shirts, although that's a big part of it. And that's so
right.
More Hawaiian shirts to show the world.
It's
that's really why I want to work more. We knocked all this stuff relatively quickly in the morning, and Steve and Drake and I worked on stuff in the dressing room, and it was nice to just, you know, and then we in the makeup room we worked on that, and then we all went to I think it was Steve's, and we just, you know, worked on stuff in there. So we came in pretty ready. A little more so than you normally get on a soap opera. But might have been partly because we were the first shots up that day, so they weren't already. Somebody wasn't. Sometimes somebody's already on the stage doing their scenes, and then you come in to do a scene with them. In this case, we all started fresh in the morning together, so we had some time to run the lines, and any ideas we had about, you know, the relationships and stuff. We chatted about a bit, and went out there and did it. So those are, in a nutshell, those are my. Four times on different soap operas that I can tell you about.
You had a nice chock full of experience there.
I did, and going back to the General Hospital, another cool thing about that was was Luke and Laura, you know, working with legends, and then and my character got bit by a dog, so we had a trained dog out there that bit my leg. They had me in like a padding. My leg was padded, and then it was a little scary, but the dog, you know, grabbed my leg, and they shot it, and then luckily I still had a leg when we were all done. Yeah, but
right.
No, yeah, over the years, I'm being self-effacing, but, you know, I'm not exactly, you know, your leading man daytime look as far as, like, the handsome guy that's going to... Well, I'm a handsome guy. What am I? I don't want to knock myself down, but you know what I mean? I mean, I'm not, like, the classic... leading man type. So for me to get the roles on the soap operas has been really fun. And I think it's the characters are a little more charactery, so it's able to bring a little more fun.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes
sense. A little more flair.
Except for that boring guy that just comes and kisses all the girls, you know. That
right.
That can't be that fun.
Yeah.
No. But yeah, no, Days was really, both times was just a delightful experience. And very happy to be part of the daytime world for a short while. So I know it's a. I was an All My Children guy. That was my story, as you say, for years. That's the one I've.
You're right up in my alley there, because I was an ABC girl to start with too. So.
Yeah. So. Yeah. If I ever got a chance to be in Pine Valley, and that'd be fun too. But alas, there's no Pine Valley anymore.
Alas.
I know.
But
I know. But, don't make me cry
but,
now.
But film's a good place to be too.
Don't cry.
Oh yeah.
You have no idea how that tore my heart out when they cancel All My Children and One Life to Live at the same time. I mean, come on, how evil can you be?
I know, it's terrible. And you know, the terrible thing that with all that was they moved both those shows to LA first. And so everybody like came out here and they pulled up their lives and back east to stay on the show and came out here. And then what was it like maybe a year later, if even that, they pulled the plug on the shows. It's like, you know, like, I mean, not, it's another year of the shows, but it's like, you know, couldn't you guys have thought of that a year ago? So we didn't have to like,
exactly,
you know, pack up our lives.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was, and it was a terrible, a slashing of the soap opera happening there for a while. I don't think anything else is in danger, in my opinion. I mean, there's only four left, and you know, two on CBS, I guess, and one on the other. So they're the I don't think any of the networks want to get out of the daytime business necessarily, but they certainly wanted to minimize their involvement. It seems like, unfortunately.
Well, yeah. from your lips, as they say.
Yeah. But I don't, not to get too political, I'm sure, you know, they've got their reasons, I guess, and it's all the reasons are money, I suppose.
Yes.
But I my guess is all of us soap fans we're probably safe with the four that are left. We'll,
just keep watching them. That's all you can do, whether you like the storyline or not, or a character or not, or whatever. You just have to keep watching because, you know, it changes, and that's all there is to it. Your favorite character will eventually be on, and then they'll be off because not everybody can be front burner. So, you know, just roll with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it should happen that they want to see more Carl, I'm game. I'd love to do it. It was
Really fun. So any Days fans out there need to start tweeting at NBC Days and let them know.
Oh, yes, please. I feel free. I thank you for saying that. That'd be great because, I mean, it was just Steve and Drake were just really, I mean, they're cool guys, you know. I mean, I'd love to be back even if they were jerks, but they weren't.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I just like that, you know, that we got to do, did some work besides just being on the set together and worked on things, and that was exciting for me to have that chance because normally, particularly in daytime, you don't get that chance being a day player or, you know, officially you call a day player if you're not a contract role. But I did several as Carl. But, you know, you just kind of get called to the stage and you do your stuff. But to actually have a chance to work with the guys and talk about, you know, characters and what we're trying to do here was pretty cool. And I think I'm just repeating that. I apologize. I think I just said all that.
No, that's okay. David has one more question for you, and then I have a couple, and then we'll wrap up.
Okay, sure.
Yep. So what did you see the difference between working on primetime versus working on daytime?
Well, I think the main difference is just that thing I was referring to, the speed of it. All TV's, you know, fairly fast. I mean, not all TV. Hour long is not. It's more film feature-like in the pacing. But daytime's just fast, man. I mean, you know, the shooting is 70, 75 pages a day. So,
yeah.
I mean, on a sitcom, you know, you're there all week. You rehearse. They make changes. You rehearse the changes. You get blocked by the director. You're working with the other actors. You're around all day for, like, you know, anywhere from 1 to 5 days, depending on how they book you in. So you have some time there. On a television show, an hour, you know, you're on the set. You may not get as much rehearsal, but you're there longer. You know, you're in your trailer. You're going through makeup. You're on the set for a rehearsal. You go back while they set the lights. You work with your fellow actors. You talk to them. director, you know, and level. So there's more time involved there, but with daytime, it's just fast. You got to know your stuff. I mean, in all these situations, you need to know your stuff, but you really need to in daytime. You got to come in with those lines solid and intention solid, because, you know, once again, you're just brought to stage. They block it for camera and for movement for the actors, and then you shoot it, and then you're done with that scene. So that's the biggest difference, I think. I mean, scripts are. Each script's a different format, you know, as far as how it's actually on the page, and so that's different. There's most everything on. On soaps, everything is done with boom mics, so you're not getting mic'd with anything on your body, as opposed to often in television you are. I mean, in prime time you are. You know, you have a mic hidden somewhere on you. So everything's on the boom with the guy up in the rafters getting the recording. But like all the other ones, I mean, you're just with these guys, the cameramen, the sound guys, the prop, they just, you know, they're right on top of everything and really good at what they do. Which is, you know, that's true of all of the prime time or daytime. But if in a nutshell, probably just the speed of it, I think, of how
the speed,
how little rehearsal you get, and how quick you shoot. That would,
right.
would sum up.
Right.
To sum it up.
Well,
that
off of daytime and into general, I read that you also do your own stunts. Is that something that you trained for early in your career, or was that did that come later on?
Well, as far as to an extent, I can do my own stunts. I'm not, you know, I'm not flying off buildings and racing cars, but I've done some. My training came from grad school in theater because I learned stage combat. It's not exactly the same as you need on set, but I've been able to, you know, basically any kind of, I've done fights on, I could do hand-to-hand combat stuff. I can do some gun, I mean, I can shoot a gun, obviously, when they want me to. I've done some stunt driving where, you know, I'm playing a character that the car zips up to a curb as far as like, you know, going in and out of traffic or leaping off things. I can't do those kind of things. So I would say the training for the stunts really came from my grad school, my theater training before I became a professional, and then just doing it too. I've been on some low budget. I've done some low budget films where they're like, okay, Kevin, we need you to pull the car in here, skid, and stop at that thing there. I was like, okay, I guess I can do that because they didn't have a stuntman there, so.
Yeah,
you know, so I've learned on the job that way too, but as far as the actual like stunt, you know, how to hit somebody and make it look real without hitting them, that kind of stuff is basic stage combat that I learned over the years.
Interesting. I think that brings a little bit more to your career as well. You know, that you can do those things versus somebody that can't do them at all.
Yeah, and particularly, you know, and as I said, in stage work, obviously. Like independent films often, but, you know, like anything big, they're going to have a stuntman there because it's just part of part of the contract. You know, the SAG, Screen Actors Guild, wants a stuntman there for A, safety, and because it's, you know, they know what they're doing. But
right.
In many cases, if it's something small, I've been called upon to do it. And I mean, I've done a few. There's one picture, if you went to my website at all, of me being hit, and it's just this fantastic shot. A guy just punches me, and I'm caught mid-air as I'm falling to the ground. And so there was a stunt I did, like, over and over again, getting hit and landing on a linoleum floor. So that was, you know, that was challenging. When I'm called upon it, I can do it, and I'm not afraid to do them. But once again, if you want me to leap off a building, you probably need to get a stuntman for that.
Yeah.
Although, you know what, actors we hate to say no. I might give it a shot. Who knows?
Right, exactly. You got to be open for everything.
Yeah, okay, where's the camera? And okay, I'll give it a shot. I've done mostly fight stuff and driving stuff is what I've been called on doing.
Well, that still sounds like fun.
Yeah. And many times it's
now you have
it.
Some projects coming up. Are you able to speak about any of them?
Not officially, I don't think.
Okay. All right.
Sorry.
I know how that works. No, it's okay. I know how that works.
I think you guys said 1.7 million people will be hearing this at some point, so yeah, that's probably not a good idea right now. If there's an NDA. And actually, an interesting thing, we just have a new contract with the Screen Actors, SAG-AFTRA just signed a new commercials contract, and in the contract is built in an NDA, non-disclosure agreement. We don't even, mm-hmm. like if you go to a set, we don't even have to sign them anymore because it's been collectively bargained that we cannot talk about things. So,
oh, interesting.
Kind of a new thing they've thrown out there. And that includes, posting, Twittering, Facebooking. Can't do anything without the permission of the producers. You're allowed to do something like, hey, I just worked on a great show, But
yeah.
I can't tell you the product if it's a commercial. It's a big thing now, particularly with the social networking, because somebody does one tweet and a storyline's ruined, or or one tweet and a new drug is exposed. But if you're doing a commercial or something. It's actually part of the rules now, beyond just signing, because a lot of times you go to projects and you sign them. And, mm-hmm. I know I signed it and I'll honor it. And primarily, I think the big thing to be concerned about in that world is to do any kind of posting or social networking about specifically what you're working on or what it's going to be. To the point, we actually a lot of times for projects, I'll just get my pages. If I'm auditioning for something, there are several shows, they just send you fake scenes. Mm-hmm. It's not even the real characters. It's not the real scene because they don't want that out even,
Right.
You'll be doing, it's basically what is going to happen in the scene, but rewrite the lines, they'll rewrite the character names and whatnot. All that to answer, I can't talk about it.
Yeah. It's okay. But great thing about social media is that it has back shows that have been canceled.
It may not be on the specific
channel or network, but, to Netflix or Hulu or something like that, because of all of the people that are able to share with the networks or whoever that, we don't want this off air. We need these people back. We need the show back, and it's really worked well.
Yeah, I don't, Netflix doesn't have ratings, and they're pretty protective of their mm-hmm. analytics, but I've heard, Fuller House broke their records watching it. It's amazing. It's great, hopefully they'll, bring Will of Grace back that way. Who knows?
Please. Again, from your lips.
Yeah. only if it's Will Grace and Ralph. That'd be the best way to
definitely.
Do it.
There you go.
Definitely, it has to have Ralph.
But you're right. It's great. While we have to be careful on what we exactly say,
mm-hmm.
what you can say is, it just gets generated so quickly and so, and broadly. It's a really interesting age we're in. I think with all these Facebook things and the Twitter things and being my age, I've kind of lived through what it was like before all of this, before
mm-hmm.
big computers were everywhere in our lives, and now deeply into it. So it's even in my short time and on Earth, I've just seen such amazing changes and growth of technology. It's incredible. I get kind of amazed by things pretty easily, though. I still don't know how this telephone.
What is that?
Yeah,
hello?
I don't know.
It's just our fire alarm.
Oh, David, don't worry about it. Just a fire. You'll be fine.
Yeah, right.
You have to go? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. It's probably a drill.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I think maybe you should hang up and go check that. I mean, we're at the end of the show anyhow, and we'd rather have you safe than sorry.
No, I think it'd be really good, really interesting interview, though, if, you know, if you're on fire.
Yeah.
It'd bring all
oh
kinds of new,
God.
You know. No?
Let me see where that's coming
just
from.
Think about it, David. It's for the show. It's up
this
to you.
This show is on fire, literally.
Yeah, there you go.
The show is on fire.
Alicia Keys is singing the theme song for it.
Right.
I like that.
Oh my gosh. Well, it stopped, so hopefully that's the end of that. So, and you're
yeah.
okay. But yeah. Speaking of social media, would you share with our listeners where they can find you, your at names and such?
Oh yeah, sure. Let's see. Well, on Facebook, I'm Actor Kevin Brief is the professional page. I'd love for anybody to go there and hit like. And build up my likes there. So
I like your page.
Thank you. It is a nice page, isn't it?
It is.
No, that's why you like. No, thank you very much. Yeah. So anybody that would like to like me, I would like them to like me at Actor Kevin Brief. My new Instagram is Kevin_Brief, and I think my Twitter is just at Kevin Brief. I'm really, really inventive with my names, as you can tell.
Yes, yes, and it is at Kevin Brief.
At Kevin
and
Brief
it's
on Twitter.
Brief.
Yes, Brief as in briefcase or underwear, whatever works for you. But Kevin Brief, and then you know, you can check me out on IMDb as well. I have a website, kevinbrief.com. You can check out clips and I mean my resume and all that stuff. But I also have clips from many of the shows I've been on, as well as demo reels and that kind of thing. Yeah, that'd be great. So, did I get them all? Got the Instagram, Kevin_Brief, at Kevin Brief, and Actor Kevin Brief on Facebook.
Yes.
And then,
as far
that's
as
about
I know, unless
Brief,
you're hiding something
person.
Somewhere.
And then KevinBrief.com if you'd like to go to the website. And that's about all the Kevin Brief you're going to want, I think. But, although,
well,
I'd like to say
we
want to
thank you
of
very
Brief,
much.
But.
Oh yeah, it was
never
such a pleasure talking to you, sir.
Oh, thank you guys. Thanks for having me. I hope your listeners enjoyed it. I certainly enjoyed being here.
Thank you, and you are welcome back anytime. When once your new
yes.
projects are being, you know, able to be talked about, we
okay, yeah,
fine
yeah,
having you back.
You'll be the first to know. No,
thank you.
I'd love to be back anytime, and hopefully we can make that happen.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for the time. And then stay safe from that fire, David.
I'm going to try. Thank you.
And keep those dogs under control, Pam.
I know, right? I think I'm going to get little muzzles for them from now on.
Oh, Yorkies. How cute. I had a friend. I'm sorry, we're tying up. I had a friend that had
no,
a
that's
Yorkie.
Okay.
And she had, you know, a lot. They're pretty delicate dogs, I think. Whatever. Her dog
yeah.
needed a lot of, like, attention early on. And at one point she said, see that dog right there? 7 pounds. Cost me $7,000, that dog. It's like about $1,000 a pound. It's about $1,000 a pound I spent on that dog. But you would never do anything
oh.
different, right? But, yeah, it's like, it's a great dog. But it made me laugh.
It really is. And the only reason I have them is because just real quickly, when I got pregnant with my oldest son, I became allergic to cats. At that time, I had a cat that was 18 years old. I lived with her another year and a half before she passed. Then when I got pregnant with my last son, which was my fourth child, I became allergic to dogs. A few years after, and I had to give my dogs away. I had a German Shepherd at that time and then a mixed dog. And then I found out a few years after that I could actually possibly have dogs that, you know, don't shed, and that would be either Yorkies or Poodles or one other one that I can't think of. So I went to make the purchase of my first Yorkie, and mind you, yes, they are very expensive, and I made sure that I made a deal with this lady that if I became allergic after a few days that, you know, I would be returning the dog, and she had no problem with that. Well, needless to say, they never went back, so...
Yeah, that's at least the. I mean, not to minimize your loss, but a cat making it 20, almost 20 years, that's pretty cool. That's a good
yeah.
one.
Yeah. Yeah, she was awesome.
Is,
she was the
that's
best.
A marvelous run.
I hope you made your kids pay for them, you know, making you allergic to these animals. And
oh, I
you know,
wish.
Use that as guilt over them for the rest of their lives.
I wish.
Yeah,
I've got
yeah.
other things to hang on their head, so.
But with four kids,
you always find something, so.
Oh, my bad. Four kids and two dogs.
Yep. Yep, but they're
and
all
we actually,
all
we can't go
older,
without finding out
so.
David's pet history. Do you have a pet, David?
I do. I do have a cat. She's 9 years old.
And I have two cats, but you saw the picture of the one, and she's like the best cat in the world. But that's my opinion. So, yeah, pets are nice. But now and then we just, my wife and I go, yeah, we have things living with us. That's odd, isn't it? Yeah, it's kind of an odd
mm-hmm.
concept. But we have creatures living with us, and we
yeah.
take care of them. That happened.
Well, it's,
but yeah,
it's
so,
better than other creatures.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, and before we go, let me just once again, if you had brought it up, but I would love if anybody wants to get on, bring Carl back to Days Movement. Please feel free to
definitely.
You have my permission if you need that. As if you
oh,
need
thank
that,
you,
well, thank you. We're very big on doing things like that.
Well, I'm assuming you guys like them and would like to see more of them.
Yes.
I would like that, too. So please do what you will. Or not.
We
will.
We will. And we have a soap show. We have a soaps and review show twice a month, and this Thursday is our day to have one. So there's, you know, other co-hosts on that as well that watch Days, and I'll make sure that David gets that news out to them. I will send them an email, and we'll all get on it.
Yep.
So don't worry when you see your name over and over on Twitter.
Yep, you know.
We are not stalking
know
who's you.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. Although I could use a good stalker. What the heck? Come on.
No. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You
I know that.
It
on that
we'll
note, no. Well, once again, I know I did. We digressed there from our goodbyes, so I didn't want to hold you guys up with the York
that's
story.
That's all right. Thanks
yes,
again. You enjoy the rest of your evening.
I will. Take care. Bye bye.
Take care
too.
Bye.
Bye bye. Well, that was
what a nice
so
man.
Much fun. Yes, I love him. I love him. And definitely would like to see more of him on Days, so we will get on that. And I want to give a special shout-out to Vonda for offering the interview to us. We appreciate it. We thank you, and we look forward to our next interview, which I will not announce yet. We're going to announce that
no.
a little bit closer
no.
to the date. Also, if you would like to tune in on Thursday with David and Tamara, Carolyn, Liz, who am I forgetting? Oh, the new one. What's
no.
her name?
Oh, Lisa.
Lisa, at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll be on to review the last 2 weeks of all four soaps, so join in. You are more than welcome to call in, and the phone number is 1-718-506-1540, press 1. And the link will be sent out tonight for Thursday's show. So I think that's a wrap, and it's great
Should
being
I?
Back. Thanks again for joining
it
me.
Is. It is wonderful having you back, let me say. I missed you.
Thank you.
I miss talking with you.
Thank you. I'm going to try to make this a little bit more regular, but we'll just see how it goes.
You take it one day
know.
At a time. We can't ask for anything yeah. else.
That's it. So, everybody, don't forget, follow Kevin on Twitter at Kevin Brief and let him know how much you enjoy him on Days if you watched him on there or one of his many other TV shows or films that he's been in. I'm sure he would enjoy that. And actor Kevin Brief on Facebook and Kevin_Brief on Instagram. Thanks again, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you again soon. Take care, everybody. Have a great night.
Have a great night. Good night,
thanks,
all.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Get connected with Take Two Radio on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio. For email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit Take2Radio.com.